quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draw nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten
their God. Will He warn
us of danger that lie in their path? But they heed not His mercy and to kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, your hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, where fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. So fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Like the woman at the well I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. So fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world that are searching for pleasures, earthly things afford. But none could match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. So fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things that this world gave you leaves hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leaves hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and serve you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. True it all, true it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, true it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. True it all, true it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, true it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. True it all, true it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, true it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home. Wounded soldier, pick up your weapons, let's fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home. I want that soldier, pick up your weapon, let's fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home. You just never give up. That's all you got to do. Never give up, and then God will be there. Just never give up. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. nothing else matters. Worship His name, adore Him with prayer. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name. Adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name. Adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship Him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Heavenly Father, we just read Your word. I just pray You'll take what we read, Lord, and inspire it in our hearts, make it come alive, Lord. Allow us to see that scripture has not yet happened, and allow us to elaborate on it, Lord. And just we pray that You'll continue to use us for Your honor, for Your glory. Do with us as You see fit, because there's nothing in us, Lord, that has any value, that has any spiritual connection, Lord. It's just the natural man absolutely has no capacity to understand the things of the Spirit, Lord. So I just pray You'll open the hearts of the people and not let the devil, the god of this world, blind them anymore, but allow them to see what we're trying to see here, Lord. We just pray You'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
We see in somewhere in history, in the last 6,000 years, that scripture has got to be fulfilled, and it has not been fulfilled already. First of all, the Lord will be terrible unto them, and that day, like it's a certain day when this will transpire, when this will happen. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish the gods of the earth, and men shall worship Him. Everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heath. Now, first of all, you got to know what is out there to famish, because back in the Old Testament, they had this statue. You know, they worshipped these statues. Even Israel, they began to worship their Kamud and Moab and all these different idols they had. Mm-hmm. Even Gideon's dad had his little gods that he was worshiping there.
The
god of Baal. It's so stupid, but that was back in the Old Testament. But behind all these gods that she didn't realize, there was a demon, there was a spirit. They were worshiping that spirit in the name of a wooden thing there, but behind it there was this god, this demon that was anointing it, so
that's
to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then now here, and then Satan, he's so deceptive. He knows the human race is not so stupid that they'll go out there and make up a statue and worship it. No, he's a lot more subtle than that. Here in his end time, he puts up these religions, and now these religions are called gods. And here it says, I'll kind of paraphrase it to you, the Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish all the religions of this day. See that we're mostly talking to the Hutterite, because the Lord allowed us to see that this is our mission. And see that Hutterite thing, it's a spirit behind it, the spirit of Satan. And if we say that, because they got their religiology, they don't like us saying that. So then that day they've been wasting their time all these years, that preachers be just about there beating his gums together, reading out of a so-called sacred book, because they go back our forefathers, our forefathers, and Satan has them so deceived and so deluded, it has actually become a religion. Their religion is becoming their God, and they don't like us, see. We're just exposing the thing for what it is. We don't hate the people. We wish they would be free like you and I are free. We had to completely walk away from that thing and just completely set ourselves free and completely get rid of every ounce of religion that was attached to us. But see, in this day, I don't think today you have to leave home and leave. You just, all you simply do, wherever you're at, just believe what we're trying to say here, and they're not going to terminate you anymore. They'll just, I think that era is over. But see, that scripture here is applicable somewhere in history, and it has not ever been activated yet. But here in these closing days of time, it's a very important, one of the most important thing is for you and I to know where we are in time to God. It caused the Lord Jesus Christ to weep bitterly over Jerusalem. I remember when we were over there and we were walking down from the Mount of Olives and we looked towards the Temple Mount, and you could literally, I think there's a little thing there, you could literally still feel where Jesus stepped and he wept over Jerusalem because they did not know the day of their visitation. And then eventually, 30, 40 years later, destruction came on Jerusalem, on the Israelites, and just they're it's still to this day that they're all over the world, scattered all over the world, simply because they did not know the day of their visitation. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, they did not know the time and hour they're living in, and that it was in the days of Lot. They absolutely did not know. We keep saying it over and over again how important it is to know, and to know for a fact, to know where you are in time. And then Daniel, he saw all these things transpire before. He had a vision and a dream and all the things, and it got him so worked up that for days he couldn't eat. And then that angel came and he wanted to know what's going on here. What is this all about? These strange figures and these visions that he had. And then angel came and told him, Daniel, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. But at the end of the day, there's going to be people. And he said, the wise shall understand. Daniel, there's going to be people at the end. They're going to understand right to the T what you saw here. But in the meantime, you're going to go to sleep with your lot. And at the ending of the day, you'll get up, you'll rise up, and you'll have your lot in that millennial kingdom. But see, you and I, we have been given the Lord, the last 35 years, the Lord put us through this schooling. The Lord put us on this journey. And in this journey, he allowed us to see by these two ministers, by these two, by the ministry of Brother Brennan and Brother Jackson, he allowed us to see certain things, how they begin to transpire. In 1906, the Laodicea Church Age began. And then he gave us, at midnight, there was a cry. And he gave us that on February the 28th, 1963, was the middle of the Church Age of Laodicea, and then you can do the rest. You can get it right down to the day, and it's exactly like we keep saying over and over again, October the 15th, 2021, that is when Laodicea ceases to exist, and that's when the 7 years began to be counted, the 7 years, left for Israel, and the 7 years of the restoration of Israel. And then this 7 years, at the end of the 7 years, you can go read it, that Jesus comes down and ties up Satan. So it's a very important one, and the most important thing is to know the day and hour we're living in. And then when you know the day and the hour you're living in, then you can put these scriptures right about here where we are in time. And history, if you look back at it, it has never, that scripture has never happened. But the word of God, God has put his word above his very name. And somewhere, that scripture has to be fulfilled. And we only got 3 more years. Like what we're saying here is 100% accurate. Eh? You don't have to wait until it happens. You just have to believe that it will happen, because, like I say, God has put his word above his very name, and we give you the count, we give you the midnight cry, we give you the middle of Laodicea, we give you the end of Laodicea, and now we're in the last 3 years of this, and this scripture has to be applicable that for right now, the day and the hour we're living in, and God is going to start famishing the gods of this world, because I didn't make this up. Just before I went to bed, the Lord put this on my heart. Talk about this today. And now we're rapidly approaching that time frame where God is once again going to famish the religions. You've got to get it in your head that is just driven by a demonic force, by a spirit behind it. That's why we cannot even get near it, because you can't fight the devil, because it's too powerful. You gotta wait until the Lord does something, until he famishes that religion. And then once he famishes that religion, that spirit is gone. And then the people will be left there just holding a bag, and that spirit will no more drive them. And then it says here, then will people begin to worship him. Exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Once you famish that God, then everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen, they're going to worship the Lord their God.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they're worshiping that demon, because
that's right.
Like we're mostly talking about other, right? But you could take the Amish, you could take the Mennonites, you could take the Huldemanner, you could take all these religions, you could take the Pentecostal, you could take the voodoos, you know, these African nations, mm-hmm. how they worship their voodoo and all their garbage. And behind all of these religions is a spirit.
It is.
The spirit of mm-hmm. Satan. And you got to see it in the light of reality. Like I say, when we hear us say that, ooh, they think we're blaspheming. But I tell you what, once you see that spirit, and once you've been through their torture chambers, what they do with you when you as much as even think about getting baptized in Jesus' name, when you as much as even think about looking at that book, you know, and we start to believe it and to walk in it, I tell you what, you're on their hit list. And it's exactly what it says. Like, once you become a Christian in that system, you're going to either have to compromise or you're going to be spewed out of it. Just that simple. And we're just trying to be factual, honest, and tell the people where we are in time. We've told you over and over again where we are in time. And if you do not know where you are in time, you cannot piece this together. You don't know when that scripture is applicable. It'll just, if you don't know where you are in time, that day will just come upon you unaware, just like it did at the destruction of Jerusalem, just like it did back in the days of Noah. That day came upon him and it took him all away. And here's the same thing. If you don't know where you are in time, even if this scripture is applicable, people will just not know what's going on. They'll wonder what's going on, but they're not going to be able to figure it out, because they don't know where we are in time.
That's
and
right.
We keep saying it over and over again. We keep giving you the scriptures that you can do to match yourself. All you got to do is go and believe us. That's all. And it'll happen exactly the way the scriptures portrays it to be.
When you will go back to the children of Israel, when they were not yet infiltrated with all these gods of the land, God loved them and dwelt with them, and there was peace among them, and there was a unity among them. They were living in tents, and God looked down and he loved it, because they were not yet infiltrated with all those gods of the land. And then when they came into the land of Canaan, they had so many gods there. He says here in 1 Kings 11:33, because they had forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep the statutes and my judgment, as did David his father. That's what happened. They got infiltrated with all these religions in the land. Their religions. We'll call them religion because that's what it's called today.
Yeah.
Because people can associate it with better that way. So in this age,
The minute God was moving, the devil was right there to form this false god. And he's going to famish them all because Satan is going to be thrown into hell and he's going to be bound in chains for 1,000 years. So he can't go out and do his evil things in the millennium. And then God's going to famish all that. So there's going to be righteousness of God that's going to be throughout the land, just as the water covers the sea. That's what God's going to do to in the millennium. And religion separates you from God. Mm-hmm. If you are in a religious organization, first and foremost, you have to bow down to that religious organization. Amen. It's just how it works. You cannot put it in any other way. I know it. I've been in there, and it wasn't until I left that all those tentacles that religion has on it, that it uses to control you, had to let go, and because it could no longer control me the way it did when I was in that system. It's just how it is that religion has a hold on you.
And once you get to the place where you can believe what we're saying here, I know it's a pretty tough sell when you're brought up in that religious system. Everything is organized and everything is, it looks so holy and so heavenly because, of course, they get together every day and they preach some old sermon that was written 500-600 years ago that has absolutely no value, no meaning for the day and hour we're living in. And then when we come along and we expose that thing, of course, to them, it seems like we're blaspheming we're trying to destroy them. No, you cannot destroy it. All we're doing, what we're doing, and we're exposing it. It's going to be up to God to destroy that thing. And all he has to do, you can imagine yourself, once you famish something, like let's say you had a lion out in your backyard and you start famishing it. Well, that lion ain't going to live very long. But in the meantime, as long as you keep feeding it, it will not, it'll survive and it'll growl every time it sees you. Mm-hmm. But see what God's coming to do. That scripture's got to be fulfilled because Jesus said all scripture has got to be fulfilled. And what God's doing, he's slowly famishing these religions of the world. And like I say, the Amish have their religion, the Hutterites have their religion. Babylon. He's killing off Babylon, and Babylon is that religion, and what he's doing, he's choking the life out of it, that at the end of it all, that spirit will be no more. But it's in the process. Ever since October the 15th, 2021, that restoration of all things has begun, and it's just on the way to completely being destroyed. And at the end of the day, at the end of these 7 years, you're going to see an atomic bomb that's going to hit Rome, because Rome is the headquarters, the Vatican, the Pope, that's the headquarters of all these religions. Out of Rome come all these religions. Out of Rome comes that Amish religion. Out of Rome comes that Hutterite religion. Out of Rome comes the Pentecostal religion. They've all come out of Rome through the Reformation and all that, and now all it is, they're just the harlots now. They're still part of that whole system that they evolved into harlotism. And that's what you see out there. And see now what God is doing in the last, ever since October the 15th, 21, he's slowly choking out that whole system, that whole Babylonian system. When you hear about Babylon, all you gotta do is think about the religious system. That's modern day Babylon. Mystery Babylon, it calls it. And that's what we're doing. We're just exposing it. And once you can get yourself to a place where you will believe it, truly, honestly believe it, then out of your belly will come flowing rivers of living water, because this is the stream that God has started, that stream way back when he created that first angel. And then it kept on going, testing the angel. And like we keep saying, this planet is a laboratory. First of all, he tested the angel. Then he did once in Jude. And then he tested the morning stars. You can go back and read Job 38, and then he began to, then he created man, and now he's testing man. This planet here is a laboratory where we're being tested to see if we're going to be found worthy to go into that millennial line. He answered and he was asked, what's going to happen in the millennium? And he said, those people that will be found worthy to go into that age of regeneration. And we're right now, we're being tested to the full extent if we're going to be faithful to the Word of God. And if we're going to do what it says here, wounded soldier, pick up your weapon. Just don't give up. Just endure to the end. Then you're going to have a place to go in that millennium, because he said those that will be found worthy to enter into that place of regeneration. Mm-hmm. And that's what did. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. That's why we're putting all our resources, every cent that you ever make, everything that we do is for free, because all our energy, all our finance go into bringing out a message here in this end time, just to warn the people and to expose what's going on out there. And the Lord has given us, we're working together, from the, like just like Jesus said, me and my Father work hitherto. And if you put it in today's language, me and the angels and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, we are working together on this project here, because it's got nothing to do with us. We're just vessels. We're just somebody that the Lord, the God of heaven, found faithful and true to do what we're doing. Where are you going to find, and this generation, somebody that's given up everything, all your finances, all your family, everything, God, give up everything for the sake of what we're doing here, because the Spirit of the Lord moved on us. Where are you going to find a girl when she comes up to 17 years old and she says, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married or what? And she said, no, I'm going to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has for me. And that's why we are here today. We have to make decisions in life. We have to give up everything so that we can be useful to the true and living God. And then he saw willing, able, and voluntarily we gave up everything so that God can use us for his honor and for his glory. And now he has given us the responsibility to expose what's going on out there. He gave us exactly the day and hour we're living in, because he gave us the midnight cry and he gave us the beginning of the restoration of Israel. And from there you can go back and count it 1,260 days to the middle of the week. And then it's 42 months at the end of the week. And at the end of the week, God, Jesus Christ, comes down and he takes the chain. And he's the only one that can control Satan, that can bind him and send him to hell. And that's what he's doing right now. He's slowly famishing all the gods of this world to the day when the day comes when Satan is no more. He comes and And it's like it's not going to happen all of a sudden. It's in the process now. The restoration of Israel simply means he is slowly famishing the religions of this world. And one day you're going to wake up and that preacher and that pulpit will no more be controlled by that demon that's controlling him. And he will not be able to act as a bully and force his garbage on you, make you do the stupid thing. I'm going to say behind it is the spirit of Satan, because I literally saw it. And until you really know and believe what we're trying to say here, then you allow yourself to be intimidated. Mm-hmm. But we got this number.
That's right. Because that's part that religious God is the one, that spirit is the one that's intimidating you. And when you realize what it really is, you can be set free. As it says in Isaiah 42, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
See?
That's God, he is a spirit, and he is the creator of all things, and it is God that we worship. Religions want to be worshipped. That spirit wants to be worshipped. They want to take that worship away from God. And that's what's going on there. It's really a battle between good and evil. But in the end, God wins. He always wins. But he uses the circumstances and the conditions in the world to move his plan forward. Mm-hmm. And just like he used Biden, he allowed him to get into being president, even though they stole the election. He allowed it to be so, to shape the world events to where it's going in the direction that it's going now. And basically with the tariffs, I firmly believe God is in the tariffs, is famishing the gods, and also the Babylonian world is coming down, because the Babylonian world is really built on making riches and merchants and commerce. Mm-hmm. That's what's behind Babylon. When you will look at the old Babylonian and the seaports, how they came in and they infiltrated the Israelites, mm-hmm. and then they brought in their gods. And that's how Israel became infiltrated, is through that Babylonian spirit. There are a lot of people that think that the gods that are there, Israel, originated with Israel. They didn't originate with Israel. That's false when you listen to some people. Israel was, there was one God that they worship, and that's God, the Creator, that the Lord God is His name. That's I am the I am that came to Moses, that showed up with Abraham. That's the God that the Israelites mm-hmm. worship. But Babylon infiltrated Israel and they started worshiping all those gods. And but God is shaping the events. When you will look behind the scene in Israel, how he's shaping the events there, it's a slow process, but the end you're going to see Israel being purified, the people, and they're going to worship God, and they're going to recognize God, and that's the direction it's going now. And you're seeing the rest of the world, how God is famishing out that Babylon, and it's going to fall. It's going to be done away with Babylon, because in the end that beast system gets thrown into the lake of fire. Satan gets thrown into the lake of fire in the end, and everything is going to be taken care of. See, God is in charge. He's in control. No matter what you see around the world and who, which country thinks they're more powerful, it's God behind the scene shaping the events to fulfill His word.
Amen to that. Exactly right. And if you list the social media, I go on social media to find out what's going on, and simply to do one thing, to see how the scripture is being fulfilled. But see, if you really get yourself tangled up into social media and the things that are going on out there, you allow it to intimidate you. Yeah. And after a while, you begin to believe it. But I have to yank myself back into reality. All that's going on out there in the hour of time we're living in is the restoration of all things. And God, what God is doing, He's bringing everything to back to where it was before Adam and Eve fell. And it was a utopia here on planet Earth. Adam and Eve would talk to the animals. There were no weeds. There was none of that stuff was there before the fall. And then once the fall happened, then all Satan took over this planet. And that's what you're seeing out there. A planet that's exactly what Jesus said. The prince of this world is controlling everything. But Jesus at Calvary took the life of Satan away from him, and now he's just a bluff. Everything he does is just a bluff, and everything he does is temporary. So what he's using social media, he's using the news to try to intimidate you and to think that he's actually in charge when he's not. He got defeated 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Now what's going to happen, what's happening now, you won't see it yourself, because the preachers out there are not going to tell you what we're telling you. That's why I keep saying you're going to learn here more than half an hour than you will out there in 10 lifetimes listening to that filth that comes out of these preachers. All it is tables of vomit. It's not fit for a doctor, because it has absolutely no value for the day and hour we're living in. They'll never tell you that we're living right now and the closing days of time. Just 3 years down the road, and then Jesus comes down and ties up Satan. And in the meantime, Satan has everybody occupied. Everybody's running after this, that, and the other. They're running after money. They're running after finances. They're running after everything that is not beneficial for eternal destiny. And at the end of it, you want to read what happens at the end when they come with the when Babylon is completely destroyed, and it's mostly about commerce. There's a lot of things about the ship merchants and all this. This is what Trump is doing with the tariffs. He's slowly getting rid of what he doesn't know. He doesn't know that. Mm-hmm. But God is using him ever since. Like, it's pretty obvious that the Lord saved his life down when they tried to assassinate him. They've actually tried more than once to assassinate him. But see, God has his life and his hand because he wants to use him for his glory, and he wants to use him to fulfill scripture. And that's why he's after these tariffs. He just can't get away from these tariffs. Mm-hmm. And God is allowing it simply to bring down that commerce. That's all part of Babylon, all that, that merchandise and that commerce. And you can read it at the end of the day. At the end of it all, yeah. God just comes down and he just destroys that commerce thing.
It says in Revelation 18, verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more.
When you see that, you see it's an atomic bomb, because they're standing afar off, because they don't want to be tormented by that atomic fallout. For you and I, it's so simple that's what happens at the end of the day. The ship merchant, they lament and they cry because now their whole enterprise is gone. But man, he puts all his trust and all that, a new couch and a new, anything that's modern and anything that's materialistic. He's put his whole, his complete life into everything that's materialistic. And here, God is famishing the God that at the end of the day, all that's going to be left over is the Word of God. That's why you and I, we have thought this. We have done it all our lives. All I ever wanted, I wanted to understand the Word of God. I wanted to understand this God. I wanted to, because I read in the Scripture, and the Bible is hidden away. All these precious gold, precious promises, they're hidden away. And all I did, I just saw that script, and I wanted to find out what that gold was, what these priceless things are, and the scriptures, and at the end, and that's all I've done all my life. Wanting to know what's hidden away in the scriptures. Wanting to know that great God, or that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. At the end of the day, that's all I ever wanted. That's all I was interested in. And here the Lord has given us the understanding of where we are in time. And the understanding of his word. And we've been so blessed that he gave us the responsibility and to put it out there to the people. That's why he told us to start up this website. That's why back in the day, I was just about to run out of gas. And here he brings you on board and he tells me to pick you up. And now it's the two of us. We're doing this together. From then on, me and you and the Lord worketh hitherto. Just that simple. I shouldn't even be the one saying that because it seems like we're bragging on ourselves. We're just being honest. We're just being truthful. And if you can get yourself to believe us, if you can get yourself to a place and not allow yourself to be intimidated, just believe what we're saying. Believe you and me. You're going to get joy unspeakable, full of glory, because now you're in contact with that heavenly scripture, with that heavenly plan, because we didn't plan this.
That's
all out.
Right.
We didn't. I didn't even know you prior to 2005. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you existed. But God, back in that great council and that great mind of his before the foundation of the world, he predestinated everything, and he set it up in such a way that now we can do this here together, the two of us, and we can put it out there for people, for whosoever will. Now it's for whosoever will. Let him come and drink out of the waters of life, really. Just believe. This is that water of life. This is that living stream of water that has been running ever since he created that first angel. In fact, ever since he had himself at great council back in Ephesians 1, and he began to put this big blueprint into motion, and here we are in the closing days of time, just 3 years left until the Satan is bound, and then the millennium is starting to set in, and then you got like we say, the 30 days where the wrath of the Lord is poured out on mankind, and then you got the 45 days where the separating of the sheep and the goat, and then Jesus comes and he sets up his millennium reign, and then the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that scripture has to be fulfilled, that blueprint has to be fulfilled, and now it's going to run its course, just like it was back in the days of the flood. That flood had to come because scripture had to be fulfilled, and the people that didn't believe it, they just went away in that flood. And the people that did believe, they got into that boat, and that flood didn't affect them. It's the same thing here. If you can get yourself to believe what we're saying here, somehow, some supernatural way, I don't know how God does things, but you'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb if you can only get yourself to a place and you accept that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where it says, whosoever will let him come, let him that heareth thee come, let him that is a thirsty come. And just come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Come and believe what we're trying to tell you here. Go find something out. Go find something out there that they'll tell you we're only 3 more years from the coming of the Lord and from tying up Satan and throw him into hell. You won't find nobody. All you got to do is believe what we're trying to say here.
Mm-hmm. We were alienated from God. And you know, with the grace age, God allowed the Gentiles to get to know him and to be able to be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God requires of men. And you walk through all the church ages and to see what God required of man. And here in the Laodicea church hour, he let us have a prophet here on earth that allowed us to see God and to be to understand who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. See, all that we would not have any knowledge of, mm-hmm, if God would not have done that. See, that's who God is. He allowed us to be partakers of that. And it's a beautiful picture if you look at it. And behind, God is in charge of everything. There's nothing that he does not see and know. And he is a great God. And he is not a religious God. And that's where people mix God up with religion. And then they start not wanting and have anything to do with God. But God is not in religion. God is the opposite of religion. He wants people to be free and to serve him out of the free will of their heart so that they can really worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in a religious organization will never give you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, because they have to, first and foremost, they have to promote their ideology. Behind every religion is an ideology. Like the Hutterites have the ideology of the Gemeinschaft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they build it on. But they don't know the history of what that Gemeinschaft was about. It was originated back in the Jews. And in the conditions that they were living in, there were poor people and there were rich people. So they sold their excess goods that they had in order to contribute to the poor that were in their fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even part of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
When you look down through the history of the Gentiles, when you go through Ephesus and all these churches that were there in Turkey, they were actually had a lot of trades and they were well off, a lot of these Christians, but they lived in a town setting, in mm-hmm. a city, in the city of Ephesus, in the city of Smyrna. These were all cities where Christians lived in, mm-hmm. but there were also worldly people in that area too. But they didn't live in no commune back then. See, these things are taken out of context, and that's what forms a religious organization.
And behind it, it's fair to say to evolve, to bring that whole system into a synagogue, to bring it together. Mm-hmm. Because I can prove it. You can go back and read Acts, the last chapter, the last verse, which puts an icing on the cake, and Paul paid his own rent at that place where he was dwelling. If it was such a case, the colony would have paid for it. Mm-hmm. No, Paul, he went out in the daytime to make tents, and at night he went home preaching. Mm-hmm. And he paid rent for his own home, for his own dwelling. That kind of knocks out that old mindset thing. Mm-hmm. So Paul himself, the church messenger, came and he paid his own rent out of this money that he earned with his business. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
See, that's what every religion has. They have something that they build on. And that's, behind it is a spirit, and that spirit wants to be worshipped. And that when the minute you worship that, you're taking that worship away from God, from the real, true, and living God, the I Am, the I Am. That's who people take worship away from.
At the end of the day, these colonies, these communes, these religions, they are just simply what secular, what the Bible says, they are simply synagogues of Satan. Mm-hmm. Period. End of story. And we've been working ourselves out of all these religions. It took us almost a lifetime. Finally, we're finally free. And now we are free to tell people the truth. We're not hating the people. No. We're just exposing the spirit of the thing. The devil, he don't like us very much because we're exposing that exactly who he is. We're exposing who these religions are. Yeah, the Old Testament called them God, but now they're called religion. And Jesus is coming down, and he's going to fame all these religions. Just that simple. That's what you're going to see out there when he's done with it. In Babylon, that religious system will be no more. Amen. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you thanks, Lord, that throughout the ages that you revealed yourself to man and allowed us to see what you require and who you are and to get to know you and your ways. They're wonderful, like David wrote in his Psalms, how great your statutes are, your principles and everything that you stand for and work. They're wonderful and marvelous. And like the psalmist wrote, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou would visit him? But you set him, you crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all your works, Lord. And that's what you want man to do. You said, be fruitful and multiply and rule over. And that's what you created man to do. And you've also created man to know you and to worship you in spirit and truth. And we give you thanks that you have allowed us to see these things. We just pray that we'll be able to express it to people who you really are, so people can want to serve you, the true and living God. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.